This month, I'm very pleased to have Norm Daniels as my special guest, with over 18 years' experience in the health and fitness industry. Norm Daniels is considered one of Canada's leading sports nutrition specialists. In 1983, Norm founded Body Plus, a company that specializes in the development and distribution of nutritional supplements for people with active lifestyles. Norm is also a member of the Expert Editorial Advisory Panel, selected by the Canadian Health Food Association to assist in the editing and promotion of the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program. Norm regularly lectures throughout Ontario, covering a variety of topics, including enhancing athletic performance, reducing body fat levels, and improving overall health and vitality. Whether it's training health food retailers or speaking directly to consumers, Norm takes the confusion out of sports nutrition. Norm is also the owner of Toronto's oldest fitness club, and as a competitive bodybuilder throughout the 80s, Norm knows firsthand the nutritional challenges active people face. Norm, welcome to Sports Nutrition Update. It's great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Corey. It's my pleasure.
Let's start with a personal question, Norm. How did you get into the nutritional supplement business in the beginning?
How much time have we got?
As much time as you want to take.
Well, kind of by accident, in a way. I was, as you mentioned in when you introduced me there, I was a competitive bodybuilder throughout the 80s. And in the early 80s, I was trying to inform and educate myself on the topic of sports nutrition and how I could improve my physique and improve my chances of being a successful competitor. And supplementally, there wasn't a ton of stuff around in Canada, specifically, being a Canadian athlete. There wasn't a ton of stuff available in Canada that was turning me on in a sports nutrition sense. I mean, there was some local brands like Progain. There was Weider, which was, you know, based on sugar, essentially, at that time. So I actually found a company. I stumbled upon a company that had the capability of blending different components, and I pitched the idea to them of combining some milk proteins and making me sort of a personal batch of protein powder for myself. And they were, you know, game on doing that and quite cooperative with me. But they had to do a certain minimum batch size. And it was far more than myself or my buddies could consume on our own. So I ended up going ahead with it and kind of, you know, haphazardly formulating this product, and ended up getting 300 containers, which was the smallest amount they could make me. And I got sort of a first attempt at a label done, and I put an advertisement in Muscle Mag to try and sell some of it mail order to, in essence, just kind of get rid of the excess, more than I could consume and the few guys that I was training with that were interested in it at the same time. And I did that for a while, and it was fine. I was sort of working my way through the inventory, and I loved taking the product myself. But it was actually Bob Kennedy, who at the time had opened his first retail store, his first Muscle Mag store just off Yonge Street in Toronto, that in a conversation with him, he suggested, you know, that he sell it in his store. And he wanted several cases, you know, as the conversation progressed, he wanted several cases of the product. I was selling ones and twos and, you know, taking them to the post office. So the idea of selling a few cases was the biggest sale I'd made at that time. So I ended up working out a deal and put some stuff into Bob's store, and that was my first ever wholesale transaction. And then sort of seeing that potential, I ended up spending, you know, my Saturdays and Sundays driving around in my car to various health food stores, trying to get them to carry some of the product as well. And of course, had to fine tune my label and make it better, and go from a kid flogging it out of the back of his car, trying to turn it, you know, into a real business. And fortunately, it's now coming up on 20 years later, and it's you know, essentially been my living all that time.
That's a great story, Norm.
Yeah, no, it was a fun adventure, and actually, I still have one can of the original protein supplement that we had formulated, and whey protein concentrate was one of the components. And looking back, there wasn't much else around with whey protein. Now, it was WPC-35. It wasn't like the whey proteins are available now, but it's kind of neat to look back that whey protein has become, the standard of protein supplements now.
That's got to go in the CHVA Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Now, you got into bodybuilding. Did you get into that as an athlete playing sports, or did you start the other way around?
No, I was I played football and stuff in high school, and I'm not genetically a very large person. I don't have a big frame, so I was trying to gain some weight and gain some size to be a better football player. And as you know, high school was concluding, and there was no more football in my life. I'd sort of fallen in love with weight training and just sort of shifted gears and went down the bodybuilding path.
Now, a lot of bodybuilders are not big per se in terms of height. You know, the average, I guess, professional bodybuilder would be 5'5" or somewhere around there. Mm. Do you think that's because they find that because of their structure that there's more potential to grow muscle on a shorter bone dimension?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's a greater potential to grow muscle, but certainly it's easier to fill your frame with muscle. You know, you're 6'2", 6'3", you've got really long muscle bellies, and it takes a lot of beef to really fill out that physique. You can get the illusion of size and certainly a greater density being a more compact physique.
So certainly genetics plays a role. But now what about with Body Plus, and getting back to your company now, you created this line, you dedicated it to health and fitness, and I know that you're also affiliated with Interactive Nutrition. Now, maybe you can explain that connection with Interactive Nutrition and the Body Plus role connection.
Well, to continue sort of the story that you allowed me to begin about sort of how I got into this, what ended up happening was I ran into a gentleman named Richard Pierce in the late 80s when Body Plus, my own company, was, you know, I'd been... You know, sort of, I told you the story of how I got into wholesale, and I, at that time I had 50 or 60 accounts, and I wasn't generating enough revenue that I could leave my job, but it was becoming a far greater task than running it part time. So I was sort of in limbo, and I happened to run into Richard Pierce, coincidentally, in that same Muscle Mag store just off Yonge Street in Toronto, and Richard had a company called NHF at the time, and he was selling in Western Canada but wasn't doing anything in Eastern Canada. And he was sort of a couple of steps ahead of me. He had a better-looking label, and he had some real brochures, and he had a few more products in his lineup. So we ended up joining forces, and I took over the Eastern Canadian distribution of NHF and put the Body Plus line on the back burner. And then a number of years later, NHF ultimately got sold to New Life, the vitamin company, and my role in that equation changed again, and ultimately came to the conclusion that perhaps it was time to move on and work on something, in this case, of my own again, as opposed to handling the distribution and working for a brand, which is essentially what I was doing with NHF. And I sort of joined forces with an old friend and retailer alliance that I'd had with a gentleman named Eli Nasrallah. And the two of us sort of put our heads together and worked on the creation and the development of the Interactive Nutrition brand, with Eli handling the physical manufacture of the product and the two of us working jointly on the formulations, and myself and my team handling the actual sales and marketing and distribution end of it. So Body Plus and Interactive are essentially sister companies in that sense.
And that partnership has obviously worked out very well. Now, it's a national company. You're spread out from border to border, aren't you?
We are, yes.
And how many health food stores are there in Canada, do you estimate?
Oh, I'm not, you know, I don't know definitively exactly how many there are. I know that we have just over 2,000 customers. I like to think that we have good penetration in the market, but we're probably not in everywhere. So it's certainly 2,000 plus.
And that's in gyms also?
Correct.
Now, how do you compare the difference between the health food store and the retailers inside and the typical staff that's working inside of a gym? Do you think their knowledge base is the same, or their directive is the same?
Well, their knowledge base is, I mean, as you know, you've had tons of experience in and around the whole health food and retail market. The knowledge base is different, but really varying depending on the individual store. The gyms tend to have more of a, as you would expect, a performance knowledge and an application knowledge of the products, where the health food stores tend to have an eye on, you know, the health and perhaps the efficacy of the products, and they take more of a natural approach to it. So one's more concerned with health, the other one is more concerned to some degree with pure performance. So you get kind of a different attitude. But in the marketplace, I've found that with the changing style of health clubs, with it going to a broader, more active lifestyle kind of audience, we're doing less and less business with gyms, because the sort of pro shop juice bar kind of concept seems to be diminishing in health clubs. And it's, you know, as you're going from predominantly weight training clubs to now sort of broad appeal, broad spectrum you know, service the baby boomers to some degree. You know, the focus of health clubs has changed, and it's kind of come off their pro shops to some degree.
So what type of supplements do you recommend for athletes that are engaged in sport? What are some of the primary concerns?
Well, I mean, obviously, to give the correct answer, you'd have to look at this particular athlete and what kind of sport he's involved in his training program, and I mean, that's a somewhat complicated equation. The obvious ones, though, that apply to just about everyone that's active or athletic or engaging in sport regularly would be a protein supplement, specifically whey protein. I'm a fan of whey protein isolates, in particular cross-flow microfiltered whey protein isolate. Creatine is a tremendously effective supplement. I think glutamine is one that should be in most athletes' supplement program. And then sort of not so much in the performance aspect, but from a health and maintenance standpoint, EFAs are hugely important for athletes, as are at least a multivitamin rich in good quality antioxidants and a green food supplement for the alkalinity aspect, and the micronutrients, obviously, are real important for all athletes. So those six components are something that should be, or most of those, should be in most active people's supplement program.
Now, assume that I know nothing about whey, and I'm looking at labels, and I see whey concentrate, isolate, microfiltered, reverse osmosis. It all seems like Egyptian hieroglyphics
right.
to me. Talk to me now about whey, like what it is and some of the differences and important features of whey.
Well, I mean, this is a hypothetical question, obviously, because I don't think you need any lessons in what whey protein is all about, but... you know, one of the questions I get asked often is, you know, what exactly is whey protein? I mean, essentially, whey is the liquid runoff or byproduct of cheese production. So it's a dairy-based product. But fortunately, the undesirable aspects of dairy don't really accompany whey when it gets to the finished product, or whey protein isolate at least. You've eliminated essentially all of the fat and cholesterol. You've eliminated almost all of the lactose and the undesirable carbohydrate associated with milk. And you're really only dealing with one form of protein. You're dealing with just the whey aspect of it. The beauty of whey is that the usability, the biological value, the absorbability of whey is exceptionally high, significantly higher than any other food you would normally consume. Whole eggs score a perfect 100 on the biological value index. But whey protein, I mean, depending on what form and what quality, you know, you can exceed that by, you know, 10 to 50 or 60% greater uptake and utilization. So whey is in a category of its own as far as usability and activity in your system. So it's a exceptional quality protein. Beyond that, whey offers a number of other benefits. Probably the most significant one, other than its pure protein value and protein content, is the effect that whey has on your immune system. It has a really nice nurturing and bolstering effect on our immune systems. And ultimately, as athletes, you're always challenging your immune system with the exercise you do. But for everyone, being conscious of the strength and health of your immune system is hugely important. Your immune system ultimately is your defenses against, you know, all forms of illness and all ailments. So keeping it strong and vibrant is one of the keys to, you know, ongoing lasting health.
Now, you're buying whey direct from the source. What do you look for as a manufacturer? How do you differentiate between the different forms or qualities of whey protein?
Well, I mean, whey protein concentrate, which is typically approximately 80% protein by weight, it is a good, clean protein. And because it's the most popular form, it's the most cost-effective of the whey proteins. If you want to up the ante and go to a better quality product, you need to look at whey protein isolates. Now we're dealing with a significantly higher biological value and a higher protein percentage. You're going up from about 80% protein into the 90% protein range. So higher protein percentage, high biological value. When you get to the isolate stage as a manufacturer, the two most popular isolates are ion exchange whey protein isolate, which has long been the most popular isolate, and cross-flow microfiltered whey protein isolate. They both have similar biological values and similar protein percentages, so it's kind of a tie in that regard. But in the ion exchange process, the component of whey, or the components of whey, that help to strengthen and bolster your immune system are actually the whey protein microfractions. In the ion exchange process, that ratio of microfractions gets upset to some degree because of the nature of the protein extraction process. with a cross-flow microfiltered whey protein isolate. It's a sophisticated filtration method yielding the same kind of biological value and protein percentage, but it also maintains those whey protein microfractions in their naturally occurring ratios. So you get the big numbers to brag about like ion exchange, but you still have that immune-boosting effect of the balanced microfractions. Beyond that, then you look at, I mean, obviously you assay all the raw material that comes in to make sure it's clean and potent and all that kind of stuff. But one thing that we keep an eye on as well is country of origin, because the pharmaceutical use around the world does vary, and you've got to be conscious of steroid and antibiotic and bovine growth hormone and all kinds of other components that get introduced into cattle, which supplies the milk, which facilitates the whey. And the best we've found is product coming out of Australia and or New Zealand, because they tend to have less rampant use of some of those pharmaceutical components with the cattle herds there. So you tend to get a cleaner product.
So not all whey proteins are the same.
They are not. They're not. But as a consumer, when you posed the question a minute ago about how do you distinguish between all this stuff, all the hieroglyphics, it's challenging. You know, it's there's a lot of different terminology. Unfortunately, in sports nutrition, there has always been a bit of smoke and mirrors involved in the marketing of these products. So as a novice or intermediate consumer, it's challenging to sort out all the different kinds and what would be the best choice for you.
That's excellent information. Now, I know you're a man who walks the walk and you talk a great talk, and I've always respected your ability to translate the technical information and help people understand. Now, what about your own personal training regime? We're talking about walking the walk. You're a very busy guy running a business. How does a person like yourself stay in shape?
Am I allowed to lie at this point? my goals have changed. I'm no longer trying to have the largest muscles that I possibly can. I don't have time for that. I'm older, and that's not practical anymore. And from a health standpoint, I'm really not willing to consume the quantity of food necessary to support that muscle size. So my goal at this point in my life is really to maintain my strength, be lean and energetic. I travel around preaching the benefits of sports nutrition. I need to look the part. I mean, I want to look the part because I care about my personal health and wellness, but I also need to look the part from a business standpoint. But time is precious. I mean, as most self-employed people, I'm always being pulled 10 directions at once, and I never have enough time for anything, including my family. So I've got a very limited amount of time to devote to exercise, unfortunately. I wish that were different, but it's not. So what I try and do is squeeze in workouts when I can. The most convenient time for me is first thing in the morning. It's less disruptive to my day, and getting a bit older, I train first thing in the morning on an empty stomach to get a bit of a GH increase as well in that environment. So that, I'm 42 now, so that doesn't hurt. I could use a bit more growth hormone. I've divided my body essentially into three parts. I do lower body together, so calves, hamstrings, and thighs, and I've divided my upper body in half. So I do the pushing movements as one program, so it's chest, shoulders, triceps, and I do the pulling movements, so back, traps, and biceps, on another workout. So essentially I have three different workouts. I keep my weight training workout to less than 40 minutes, A, because I don't have time for more than that, but also I have enough cortisol that I release in the course of a day for other reasons. I don't need to have a high volume workout that causes additional cortisol release and causes me to suffer from the additional catabolic effects of that. And if you keep your workout sort of under the 40-45 minute mark, you tend to avoid a fair bit of that cortisol release. Because time is short, I concentrate essentially on compound movements. I don't bother much with flies and some of the shaping movements. I stick with things like dips and seated dumbbell press and squats and the ones that stimulate more of your muscles at the same time. The only exception to that is I do some stabilizing movements for shoulders, for rotator cuff and that kind of stuff. But other than that, it's all pretty basic compound movements. 35, 40 minutes of that kind of weight training. I follow it by some abs and about half an hour of cardio, and then, of course, follow that with a protein shake. On paper, I try and do that every other day. in reality, you know, I get in 2 or 3 workouts a week of that nature. So it's not what I would ideally like, but for, you know, the limited amount of time that I devote to it, I certainly try and, you know, milk the most I can out of that time.
But isn't it true, Norm, that with your experience and your ability to generate a very high degree of intensity, that you can do a lot in a very limited amount of time and still create an excellent outcome?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the misconceptions of weight training on the whole is that in order to have a nice physique and be strong and fit and healthy, that you have to work out for 3 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's just not the case. I mean, if I had unlimited time, I probably wouldn't do more than 45 minutes of weight training 3 or 4 days a week. So it's not something that takes a huge amount of time, you know. But as you touched upon, it does take intensity. You stimulate your muscle tissue by hitting it hard and then giving it an opportunity to rest and recuperate and adapt and grow and all those good things. It's not volume. Marathon runners don't have huge muscular legs. Sprinters have big muscular legs. It's a shorter duration, smaller volume, but at a much higher intensity.
Now, you talked about cortisol, and that's a very important hormone. The body needs to release it, but I understand that an excess amount of it through mental, emotional stress, the work stress, the training stress, is something that gets in the way. You talked about it being catabolic. Now, how does an athlete manage cortisol, and are there supplements that they can take to help diminish or mitigate its effect?
Well, I mean, yes, cortisol is a very important hormone. You can't live without it, but from an athletic standpoint, it's the bad guy. It's the one that really encourages the conversion of muscle tissue back into energy, which is not what you want to have happen. Keeping your intensity high and your duration down, once you get over that 45-minute mark, cortisol levels start to go up significantly, and testosterone levels start to go down, which is the opposite of what you want as well. Supplementally, yes, there are some good ones to help to reduce cortisol effect on your cell. Phosphatidylserine is very good, but it's also very expensive, so it tends to be somewhat impractical for athletes. Probably the best one and the most cost-effective would be glutamine. Glutamine actually competes for the same receptor site on the cell that cortisol does. So if you can incorporate glutamine into your supplement program, you tend to occupy those sites and you prevent the entry of as much cortisol into your system.
So when you travel and lecture on sports nutrition and talk about athletic performance, what are some of the most common questions that you're asked?
The good questions or the dopey questions?
Up with the good ones.
Okay. Well, the dopey ones are how much can you bench press? That's sort of the first one. As far as the good ones go, I mean, you know, you get a whole gamut. I mean, as you know, I've attended a number of your lectures, and you get questions that the audience asks you, and then you get the questions that individuals ask you on a more one-to-one basis at the end of the seminar, and those vary to a degree. You know, the ones that I don't like to hear are you know, you get, I've heard creatine gives you cancer. You know, you have to sort of fend off that one.
Mm-hmm.
But on the good side of the equation, people are asking more questions about EFAs, which is really important both athletically and from an overall health standpoint. People are obviously concerned about their body composition, reducing body fat levels, and their muscularity, of course. There's more questions lately about what the appropriate carbohydrate intake should be. It used to be the questions used to be all about fat. It was, how can I lower my fat content? Shouldn't I be on a low-fat diet? Unfortunately, the answer is no, which isn't what most people want to hear. But the tide has kind of turned, and more people are concerned about their carbohydrate intake, which is a good thing. That's an important macronutrient to have in balance. One of the questions that I get all the time, and actually you've helped me answer this one, is that I get asked for resource materials, and is there a book that covers everything we talked about tonight? And up until recently, my answer has always been, well, you know, not really. And I would list a few different books that would be of value for people to read and incorporate some of the things we've talked about. But in my opinion, there hadn't been one that encompassed all the things and all the aspects of sports nutrition that I talk about and that I think are important for consumers to know. But you were kind enough to involve me in the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor course that you had written a year or two ago. And that's one resource material that does cover pretty much everything that I would talk about over the course of the seminar. So now when someone asks me that question, I can say yes in a big, loud voice, because if they're to take the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor course, man, what a great, you know, I was going to say overview, but it's far more than an overview of sports nutrition. It's a really detailed insight into the whole category. And if you want to nourish yourself and nourish yourself well, and you want to rely on one source of information, that's the one.
So when are you coming up with your book?
Yeah, well,
you got all that extra time.
I'm trying to squeeze in a few workouts here, Corey. You got to write the book.
Well, we'll all be looking forward to that because I know you have a tremendous wealth of knowledge and information. Perhaps that's something that you can focus on in the twilight section of your life.
That's right. Hopefully that won't be for a while, but thank you for the tip there.
Well, now we're seeing a lot of advertisements in the Muscle Mags on these new nighttime slow-release protein powders.
Yes.
I think you've got a couple, don't you, in your lineup?
We do.
Okay, can you talk about those?
Well, I like the whole concept of the nighttime protein. A lot of recuperation and recovery and repair and growth actually takes place at night when you're asleep. And one of the challenges at that time is how do you supply yourself with the right kind and an adequate quantity of protein? Whey protein is wonderful, but it's a fast entry, fast acting kind of protein. So if you're talking about capitalizing on the window of high absorption after a workout, you have no better choice than whey. If you're talking about something prior to going to bed to satisfy your protein requirements during the night, I mean, you know, whey is still a great quality protein, but realistically, it's going to be in and out of you long before the night is over. The whole premise behind nighttime proteins is that they offer a blend of protein sources that enter your system at different rates, so it's almost like a staggered release. So you'll have things like, you know, whey protein concentrate or whey protein isolate to get into you quickly. You'll have milk protein isolate, egg albumin, perhaps some soy to take a bit longer. And then micellar casein is the one that has the slowest and longest digestion and entry rate into your system, so that essentially you're supplied with protein throughout most of the night. Now, you do lose some biological value stepping away from whey. You're dealing with lower quality proteins in a sense, but you have an advantage that whey cannot give you in that you get this sustained release, this long-acting, long-lasting protein. And as well, some of the more clever ones include things to simultaneously improve growth hormone production in the early stages of sleep and affect protein synthesis and nitrogen balance and all that kind of stuff. So it's a clever category of product. I'm hoping that consumers embrace it and those kinds of athletes take advantage of that opportunity.
So there's no other real technologies involved other than just mixing these various release proteins? Is there no added chemistry or newfangled-dangled nutrient or anything added?
Well, I mean, sure, yeah, there's a few newfangled-dangled nutrients in there as well, but I mean, the core of all of them, if you compare all the nighttime proteins, is that they tend to be a blend of proteins that are sort of quick-acting, you know, medium-acting and long-lasting in your system. And then each company sort of has their own twist on the complementary nutrients. Mucanopurines is one that I like because it improves growth hormone production. It's actually a source of L-DOPA, which in turn increases growth hormone release. And acetylcysteine, I mean, there's some other good ones in there that improve the whole protein utilization, protein uptake kind of aspect. But, I mean, essentially it's based on this blend of staggered release proteins.
So it's not just after training and even before or in the afternoon. The athlete's got to focus on this sort of nocturnal requirement for nitrogen, and the best way to do that is to have a hit of good quality protein slow release as opposed to just a straight whey before they go to bed.
Absolutely. I mean, in a nutshell, the protein secret is to have protein available all the time so that whenever your body needs protein for anything, whether it's growth, whether it's recovery, whether it's repairing damaged tissues, whether it's fuel, or whether it's any of the hundreds of processes that go on internally that you have no control over, the production of hormones and enzymes and the strength of your immune system and all the things that require protein. What you want to have happen is whenever you need protein for any of those, it comes from your dietary sources. It comes from the food and the protein supplements you've consumed. Because in the absence of those kinds of proteins, those processes still take place, but they steal the protein from your muscle tissue. So you're not in an anabolic environment, which is a very good thing. You end up slipping into a catabolic environment, which is a very bad thing. So the more consistent your protein consumption is throughout the day, the better chance you have that you're bathing your system in protein, that whenever you require protein for any of those requirements, it comes from your food, not from your muscle tissue.
Now, you've just recently added a new addition to the family. I understand you have a younger girl now?
I do, yes.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
And now that you're, well, I guess you've been a father for some time because you have another daughter as well.
I do, yes.
Now, what do you think about sports nutrition for kids? You know, we're asked by people in the public, is this stuff safe? Can my kids take it? What's your response?
Well, the answer is yes. It's totally safe for children, and it's a wonderful addition. I mean, from a health standpoint, first of all, who has more important nutritional requirements than a developing child? You know, it drives me nuts to see kids living on pop and chocolate bars. You know, we'll be here half an hour talking about all the things that are going wrong by doing that. You know, and kids aren't getting enough EFAs, and I think a lot of ADD is in reality essential fatty acid deficiencies, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes wrong with kids because of poor nutrition. Parents should make prudent food choices for their children and nourish them as best they can. As far as sports nutrition goes, with the exception of the small category of products that intentionally alters hormonal production, other than that, I mean, everything else essentially is made of food concentrates in one form or another. I mean, whey protein, creatine, glutamine, HMB, all that stuff is totally appropriate for children. Some of the seminars I've been doing of late have actually been, you know, sports nutrition for kids, and talking to hockey teams, I did one for soccer moms not too long ago. And their fear of sports nutrition is significant, but almost all the time it's unfounded. You know, these products do wonders for the development of children, but also to enhance their athletic performance. I had a conversation with you one time where you told me that your children consume creatine. Works like a charm.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with what you're saying, and there is this unfounded fear. And again, the focus is on education and understanding the reasons why people think the way they do. And in some cases, we have to reprogram them. In other cases, they have to be exposed to people like yourself, read material, go to seminars, get information from the health food store.
Yeah.
So is there a change going on in the industry? Do you see, a degree of enlightenment in the retailers, like with specifics to sports nutrition? Are they more aware of what the stuff does and how it works?
To a degree. I mean, is it getting better? Yes. Is it to the point where it should be? No. And you touch on a good point. I mean, education is really the key. Athletes generally don't know much about sports nutrition. I've done a couple of seminars recently for hockey teams, and quite elite hockey teams. I just did one recently for the Hamilton Bulldogs, which is the AHL team that is essentially the farm team for the Edmonton Oilers and the Montreal Canadiens. So these are guys that are a whisker away from the NHL. This is, you know, their dreams being realized. And they just, it's never been a part of their training. It's never been a part of their athletic experience. So they're elite athletes, but they're absolute novices when it comes to nutrition, and specifically sports nutrition. So it's nice to see that, in this particular case, it was the trainer that instigated this and wants to bring them up to speed. So it's nice to see a greater consciousness of sports nutrition happening. But man, oh man, we have a long way to go. Fortunately, athletes need an explanation and need help with these products, so they go to health food stores, they go to specialty stores to get their advice. So wise retailers, wise health food store owners are investing in better sports nutrition sections, and they're having it staffed by knowledgeable people, and they're getting it. But, you know, it's taking a while, and it will continue to take a while. But, you know, the more of us out there spreading the word, the better it is, not only for the health of the sports nutrition business and the health food business, but also the success and the health and the benefit that athletes receive from these products.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very well said. Norm, we're out of time. I can't believe it's just flown by.
Oh, man.
And it's always great having a good chat with you. I really appreciate you taking the time to participate as my special guest on this month's edition of SNU.
My pleasure, Corey.
For more information about Body Plus and interactive nutrition, our listeners, please log on to www.interactivenutrition.com. That's interactivenutrition.com. Norm, how'd you like to leave us with a final few words of advice?
Well, sure. We've talked primarily in the physical sense for the last half hour, however long we've been talking. The other aspect is the mental and emotional side of things. I'm convinced that life is better when you are a the glass is half full kind of person. I think it's important to be an active, energetic, optimistic kind of person, have a positive mental outlook, and be and ultimately be an inspiration to those around you. I'm convinced that that's another part of the recipe of having a longer, happier, and more productive life.
Norm, that's a great word. Great to have you on the show, and we'll have you back. And take care, and we'll see you real soon.
Thanks, Corey.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed in our special guest interview. SNU is a division of Holly Health Services located in Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. For information regarding Corey's Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program distributed by the Canadian Health Food Association, his new health and fitness book series with Vista Publishing, or how you can subscribe to SNU, please visit our website at www.coreyhawley.com or call 604-522-2229. This is Lisa Hawley wishing you the very best of health and wellness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.